And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
It's the podcast, baby. Now what?
Well, isn't it brought to you by someone?
Oh, yes. The podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Sierra Mist. The big lemon-lime flavor. Love lemon-lime flavor of Sierra Mist. And I don't know if you knew this, but it now comes in a new 16-ounce cans. That's a whole lot of delicious refreshment. Pick one up today at your local convenience store. Get a taste of 16 refreshing ounces of Sierra Mist.
So, Bubba is going in for his vasectomy today.
This all came down really fast.
Yeah,
like really fast. Here's kind of the way it all worked out. My wife and I had the discussion. She's like, "Look, it's time," you know. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." You know, I'll make an appointment. So I made my appointment. I went in. What day was that? Monday. That I went in. Yeah, Monday. I went in, the doctor fondled me for a little bit and said, okay, fine, we can get to your vas, we're good. Okay, this should...
Oh my God, stop saying that.
What? Vas deference?
Why do you say vas? It's
because
gross.
That's how it is in all of their little publications that they handed me. They refer to it as the vas, V-A-S.
Okay.
It does, anyway. They don't say the vas deference.
Okay, all right. Anyway.
The plumbing. So he checks out everything. He goes, oh yeah, your plumbing's easy to get to. We're good to go. Should take about 6 or 7 minutes here, Sean, and we'll be good, Sean. And da da da, Sean. I'm like, you know, it's weird when people call me Sean anyway, because everybody always just says Bubba. Yeah, you know, that's their bedside manner.
He's good at it. He's good. Yeah. Bubba's going to the same doctor I went to.
Yeah, which is totally by chance. I went to the doctor that my personal physician referred me to. He goes, yeah, this is the place to go. So anyway, I'm going to go in and get snipped.
Is Stacy going to go with you?
She has asked me like 8 times. Like she even asked, hey, honey, I'm about to talk very personal. Last night I was kind of going through the starting to get cold feet kind of deal. Oh, wait. Let me. I got to finish how this all came about really fast. And then I promise we're coming back to this. This is a great story. So, yeah. So I go in and he's like, okay, well, you know, the best days to do them are at the weekend. So let's go ahead and look at it. So we looked at. He goes, I have one available this week. I went, no, that's too soon. And he had one. I said, well, I have one in 2 weeks. We could do 2 weeks from now. He goes, I'm on vacation. What do you have after that? And I started looking at our calendar. Between the last month of our exchange daughter, Tasia, being with us and work, I had nothing available in May. So I went ahead and I looked at June. Well, June, I've got my brother's military retirement the first weekend of June. And then we've got an event coming up the week after that. Then the weekend after that, I've got another personal thing going on. And then we have vacation. And I'm like, well, now we're basically getting into July. And we had nothing available until almost August. And I'm like, there is no way that I'm going to put this off that long. I need to just get this done. So I said, what's the only one you have is this week? He said, yeah. So let's do it. So that's how it came about.
It's better, man. It's just get it done. Because I think you're going to be a quick healer. I don't mean, I think you're going to recover fast.
I don't know, man. We'll see. I just hope everything goes well. I remember your little, you know, horror story about how they had to fish around for your vas and yank it from the back and all kinds
Isn't
of crazy
Isn't it gross
stuff.
When he says vas, Patrick?
It is.
Really?
I just thought, oh, yeah. That's disgusting.
Dude, I don't know why. I don't
they
know
had
why.
To fish around. It just sounds nasty,
they had
bro.
To move some pipes to get to your plumbing. And so that's, you know, I hear that in the back of my head, and I'm like, My bud Aaron, he literally recovered immediately.
Are they showing this in the middle of the day?
What?
I thought they only did this late at night.
One of those Sarah
it's
McLaughlin
one of the
commercials
sad look
with
at the
puppies.
Oh, the dying dog commercials.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
it
bad.
It is literally the worst thing on TV is the...
Oh, that one just, looks like Bailey.
Oh, look.
Look
at that image after image
God,
of puppies
like
that look like they've been beaten.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Bailey. I think about Bailey God. Often, actually.
I miss that dog. He was amazing.
I do too, man. I thought about it the other day. I was just our dogs were running around, and I was just thinking about, man, it's going to be devastating when they die.
Yeah. And it is. It's tough. And, you know, both of ours, because we had two other dogs that we got before Bailey passed. And one of them, the good dog, Jake, is, you know, he's 8 years old now. And big dogs don't live that long.
Yeah.
I can't believe this commercial is still on the air. In the arms of.
Are you in trouble for singing, man?
Hey, man. Mm-hmm. Look at.
It's yeah. so sad.
Oh,
it really
look,
is.
A shivering puppy that looks like it's crying.
I'm pretty sure there's someone in the back shaking the dog.
They're shaking the table.
So, yeah. So it looks like he's shivering. It makes
and
him...
the camera is connected to the table, so you don't notice the shaking of the camera. You know, you just see the dog shivering.
That was a lot of thinking you did right there. Yeah. Well, so anyway, back to the back to your surgery.
So last night, you know, I'm getting kind of cold feet and everything, and Stacy's like, so, you know, what are you going to do now? I said, well, I guess I'm going to go take a shower and soap up real good and shave. And she's like, do you need me to do it? I went, I paused for a minute. I went,
I don't know. Maybe I do.
I went, no, I think I got this. And then, I'm like, I kind of had the thought like you did. I went, well, maybe this is a good thing. And I went, you know what? Let me get back. Let me think about this. I said, let me see how this all works. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, whatever. And so I go ahead and I lay out my clothes for today before, you know, she goes and she's brushing her teeth and everything. I'm laying out my clothes for today. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear this and I get this. And I put my sweatpants by everything. And that's another story because I forgot them. I laid everything out. I was good to go. And then I went to the bathroom and I'm like, well, you know, and I look over and she's asleep. I'm like, well, do I wake her up or what? So I'm purposely being noisy at this point, you know, because you're like, well, I'm not going to wake her up. But if she wakes up on her own, that's a different story. So I'm kind of being noisy and nothing's going on. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll just leave the door open because the bathroom light is mega bright. So I do that and I pull out the trimmers. Look over. She's still asleep. She's still asleep. I'm going, she doesn't want to help. Okay. So I go and hop in the shower and I do my business. And then I get out and I'm like, babe, are you asleep? No, what? I said, I think I might need some help here. And she's like, you know, the sleep voice where they're still asleep and they're talking, or the fake voice where you just fake that you're still asleep.
Right. Yeah, that's and what
I went,
that was.
And I went, you know what? She doesn't want to do this. Mm-hmm. I need to just man up and finish the job. So I was like, oh, nothing. Go back to sleep. I turned the light off in the bathroom. I walked back into the little bathroom closet where we actually have the stand-up shower, and I finished everything. And I'm like, well, that was kinda...
Are you nervous?
Yeah.
No?
You know, I'm not nervous for the actual surgery. I'm nervous, or the recovery. You know, I know it's going to hurt. I know that's going to be whatever. I am so nervous about the shot, the initial shots in each side to numb me up. That has me more nervous than anything. Once I get past that point, I think I'll be good. But it's just, I got to get to the numbing thing. And I know how bad it hurts when you get hit there. I can't imagine a needle going there.
It's different.
Like, how so?
It's not as bad. It's not as bad as, like, you get racked.
Okay, the most pain I have ever felt from a shot ever in my life is, remember when I started having those elbow issues? Yeah. I went and I had a shot in my funny bone. Literally, the doctor put, and I said literally, because it literally was, he put the needle in my funny bone.
It won't hurt that bad.
I wanted to cry. I've never wanted to cry at a doctor's office before. I'm like, ah!
It's really concentrated.
And he said, did that hurt? And I was like, yes, Dr. Way, it hurt.
It's really concentrated, and it will...
What do you mean concentrated?
The pain. It's
like needle point kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like...
Is it comparable really to like dentist office feeling. Shots?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Where it's uncomfortable, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it hurts,
but it's not like...
Right. It's not I'm going to squeal kind of hurt, but it's going to be...
Yeah, yeah. You'll be very tense. You'll be like... Okay.
And again, I'm not doing the volume to calm me down, so I think I'm gonna be tense leading up to it, just out of tension, you know.
Yeah, that's yeah.
A friend of mine just said, have fun getting your balls cut today. Better you than me, sucker. Thanks. I have great friends.
Yeah, I'm going to send you that exact same tweet after you leave here. Just that same text, I mean.
Yeah, you're going to find out all the guys who've had it, man, that they don't even, like, we're the only ones who talk about it.
Yeah, people
it,
don't talk about it. Everybody thinks it's like something you have to keep secret.
Yeah, you'll find out. When you have it, they'll be like, oh, you're just doing this? Like, all my buds were like, well, I mean, we did this 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, my youngest is going to be 9 in December.
That's when you should have done it.
I should have done it 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at that point, we didn't know. You know, here's a weird thing, and this is something you don't think about until you're a parent. So if you're listening to this and you're not a parent, you won't get it. But it is very macabre. When you have kids, you don't want to get fixed because you're afraid something may happen to them. And you're like, well, you know what? What happens if they're all at grandma's house and something happens and they're hit by a tornado? You know, then you're like, my entire family's gone. So you don't want to get fixed. But now I guess they're older and I'm more comfortable with it. But there's no way I could have done it.
Still a creepy thing to say, yeah.
Yeah, and as I said, it's very macabre. But you think about it. God, I've been saying literally a lot. I hate the internet.
It's not the internet. It's the fact that you have 3 girls in your house.
Is that what it is?
Or 4 girls.
Ugh.
You literally have 4 girls in your house.
I do.
Can't even.
5 if you count that dog, that creature that my wife owns, the one that should be trembling and shaking on TV, looking for a home.
God, the one that pees everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. She's 6 years old, and she's still not house trained. We try. We do everything. And she has a pee pad now. She goes on the pee pad.
Oh, my God.
But she still has a pee pad. I'm like, I even had her put into diapers for a little while there. And it worked until she would, you know, number 2, and then you had a problem. Wife didn't want to deal with it, so you know how that goes.
Changing the subject.
It's a rough life.
Yeah. Changing the subject.
I don't have malaria. We're good. Okay.
Taylor Swift's mom has cancer.
Yeah. It's very
I didn't
sad.
See that.
Yeah.
She.
Miss Andrea, who is a very, very nice lady. I mean, remember, we met Taylor Swift when she was 14 years old.
And we actually met her mom with her.
Yeah. And her mom was always with her when she was 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
And she'd come by the show all the time. Her mom was always with her, and she's such a nice lady. So,
yeah, apparently Taylor said that she's like, over Christmas, I wanted mom to go in, just have a checkup, just make sure everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And she goes, she didn't feel bad. She didn't have any symptoms of anything. And
one of those people that never goes to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Never,
I'm reading it now, and that was actually one of the Christmas gifts her mom gave her.
And her brother.
Wow, she said, I'm going to go and get screened.
And she has cancer. So... I don't know. It makes me think that Taylor kind of had a feeling or something.
Do you know what, though? That's why you go and you get those screenings. Like, I was giving you all that hell about getting your blood work done last year. You just, you know.
Yeah, it's just
you
like,
should just get stuff so you can find that
guys
stuff out
are so
early.
We're so weird about it, though.
People who listen to, like, Top 40 Radio and all may know Kid Craddock still. He's a radio guy that we knew. And remember, we saw him in Vegas like 3 years ago. And I said, dude, I think he has cancer. You can just tell sometimes.
Yep.
And you were like, you think? And I'm like, watch when we talk to him again next time. We saw him about a year later, and I was like, well, maybe he doesn't because he looks great.
Yep.
He looked fantastic. Then we were at his house one time, and I said, you know what? I can't tell if he's sick anymore. He's good to go. And then like 3 months later, he was dead.
Not even. You were at his house.
Yeah. Okay. 2 months
then,
later.
Yeah, I think it was like a week. It feels like it was a couple of weeks.
And the whole time he had cancer, yeah. And apparently he, you know, was trying to set up his daughter's future, and it was just a sad situation. He didn't tell anybody. And I guess, you know, I'm the kind of guy who wouldn't tell anybody either.
But you can't wait to tell everyone you're getting your baz looked at.
Yeah, well, tell everybody that. But
severed. Severed.
Yeah, cut and then... Tied,
sutured,
and then burned.
Stuff back in.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
I am a little worried about the bleeding after. You know, they say you have a risk of that, and then things get all
swollen. You had a problem with that,
up.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's like the worst case scenario for
I really am.
Vasectomy.
No, my neighbor's the worst. But he did
he had
it
like
himself.
The beach ball, didn't he?
Yeah, but he did it himself, man. He went and coached a soccer game. The next day.
This one's going to drive himself home. I still don't understand how you can do that.
It's not a stick. It's going to be easy.
It's not a stick. Oh,
yeah, I give you this. Listen, I could have driven myself home. That wasn't an issue. I mean, I could physically do it. I mean,
I'm going to have to walk up the stairs, which I'm kind of dreading. I'm going to have to do that as slow as possible.
Yeah, you're going to be stuck upstairs the whole rest of the weekend?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's probably going to be the most dangerous thing you do.
I guess maybe I could... no, because my PlayStation 4 is upstairs.
I got to get up the stairs, man.
Yeah, it's
that's
in my guy
PS4
room.
Is.
It's in my guy room over the garage, and there's no way I'm not going to be around my PlayStation 4.
Sleep upstairs?
Yeah, I'll sleep. I won't even go to my bedroom. I'm gonna do everything. I'm gonna have everybody bring me food. Bring me grapes.
Going to the bathroom is gonna be interesting. I'm just letting you know.
Really?
Yep.
Sneezing is gonna be interesting. Remember when I had that gallbladder surgery? It's like right here, like in your below your rib cage. And dude, I remember the first time I sneezed.
Awful. I
thought everything inside of me ripped open all at once. It was the worst. I sneezed three times in a row, and by the second one, there was tears rolling out of my eyes. I'm like, stop.
I still say this. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but the freakiest thing about my gallbladder surgery was that right after I woke up, you have that moment where you're laying there, you wake up, you're in a hospital bed, you know, and you go, oh, that's right, I had surgery. You kind of start to remember where you are. And then I kind of picked up the sheet to look and see. There's bandages on me. They did a surgery. That's cool. And then I kind of, right that moment in my half-drug state, I looked down and I realized,
I'm a woman.
Very funny. I realized they shaved my belly. Like my whole belly.
It's been shaved.
But they didn't do that while I was awake.
Did you have the sore throat and everything? And you're like, why is my throat sore? And then you realize they shoved that thing down to help you breathe.
I don't think they did that for the gallbladder.
They did that
surgery.
For mine, man. They knocked me out and I woke up and I had the sore throat and all.
But I want you to think about that. I was awake in the hospital bed.
You counted backwards.
They didn't shave my belly. I woke up and my belly was shaved. That means while I was passed out, it was somebody's job to shave a fat man, an unconscious fat man.
I hope I did a good enough job shaving, because I have a feeling I missed a few. I would rather them just pluck them at that point than to have somebody come and shave.
Come in with
it's pretty demeaning to have somebody come in and finish the job, you know? Like, did you have any issues with that?
No.
Now he was very proud of his shaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Did you do the backside and all that?
No.
Okay, see, I didn't either. He said,
I don't have any hair to
Well, I know. You're like a little Filipino boy. You're not very hairy at all.
You're the biggest, whitest little Filipino boy ever.
Dude, no, that was the thing. When I was in Guam, that was always you're hairless like Filipinos. And it would be my Filipino buddies, you know, telling me that. But because, I had really blondish hair back then, so it didn't show up. All that sun. Oh, I miss those days. I was skinny.
Well,
I didn't have to shave.
I feel like we should have some sort of a celebratory, sending off party for Bubba's. He's going to get this done.
There it is. Somebody's going to make the taps joke.
Goodbye, past difference.
I want to point out that by tomorrow, I'm going to be the only one left in this room that can still make kids.
Yeah.
Of course, I have no ability to do that at my house by myself. But, you know, I mean, if worse comes to worse, the zombie apocalypse is upon us. I'm the only one who can actually repopulate.
Yeah, what happens
if the zombie apocalypse and we have to repopulate the earth with more kids? You two are useless.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yep.
I just became more valuable livestock.
Yeah.
Wow.
True.
Oh, I didn't
Shouldn't
think
have told
about
him
this.
That before. Look at his face.
I'm
he
like,
is
wait
seriously
a minute.
Worried now.
Wait a minute here. But see, the thing is, I just wouldn't tell them. I'd be like, I don't know why. It must be you.
Yeah.
Because there won't be doctors at that point to go, no, it's him. He's had his vest cut.
Yep. And then, of course, we get the ACM Awards.
Yay.
Switching
subject.
We're moving on.
Yeah. ACM Awards. Got my jacket in. I'll get it Monday. Officially.
I have to go get new blue jeans. I decided I'm going to wear some jeans, but all my jeans are, from 20 pounds ago or 17 pounds ago, and they're just fitting really loose. So I have to do that. Now I don't know when I'm going to do that, because what if it takes me as long to recover as it took you? I wouldn't be able to go get them until Thursday or Friday.
Well, so. You have time. We're not leaving until Saturday morning, so you're fine.
Okay.
You said you're certain Stacy's going to have to check a bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to be the only one checking luggage.
I think I have I don't know what. Can you bring on your clothing bag? Yeah.
I don't know. Well, like your do that. Fold up There's bag. A place. I don't know if you can. Like, you know, your hanging bag.
Yeah, they have a place in the front of the cabin.
They do?
Yeah. Well, you hang that.
Yeah, but what if you have like a bunch of people? You figure there's going to be a lot of people going to the award show and all that kind of stuff. So
I don't know.
That area may be taken. They'll be like, I'm sorry, sir. You have to check this.
I'll just check it.
Yeah, if it's in a hanging bag, I'm checking stuff. I just didn't want.
Are we all checking stuff?
Yeah. My little carry-on suitcase, you know, with that big. I think I don't want to fold my suit up and put it in there, and then we have to wear it that night.
I think, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, what's the big deal about checking luggage? We travel so much that we've learned the tricks. You don't. You pack everything in a carry-on, and that's all you need. Anything more is useless. However, because we're going to an award show with several changes of nice clothing, apparently, and our wives are going, we have to check. It's just, without a doubt, it just slows us down. It's an extra hour at the airport that you don't need, but we're doing it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
We're
going
to go to Dealey Plaza, right? What day are we doing that? Friday or Saturday or Sunday?
That doesn't interest me at all. That's you
dude.
Guys.
You don't want to go see where Sunday. Kennedy was shot?
We don't have time Saturday. We're gonna get there. We got to get ready and go to the awards.
Yeah, we'll do it Sunday.
What time can we check into our hotel?
I think at 1.
All right. What time do we have to get out to go
we
to
have
the?
To leave at 3, so we got 2 hours to get ready, which isn't a problem for us. But there's gonna be women involved.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Stacy's really fast about that. She gets dressed faster than I do, and like I walk out and I'm wearing, you know, like for church. She gets dressed and is ready for church like in that quick of time. It takes me 45 minutes.
Admitting right now that it takes you longer to get ready to go somewhere than your
without
wife?
Without a doubt, I'm admitting that.
How is that possible?
Well, because those are days that I wear jeans for Jesus, and I wear like a button-up shirt.
Okay.
And I go without a hat.
We're a minute and 15 seconds now.
And I go without a hat. But you got to figure. Here's the problem, though. I have so many different button-up shirts that don't fit. So I have to go through like 8 shirts before I find one that does.
Oh, my God. Seriously, though. You've yet to give me a reason it would take me more than 5 minutes to get ready.
Yeah.
Well, that's shower and everything included.
Okay, you just made it 15.
I mean,
I take long showers. I do. I'm the guy who, you know, the governor of California would totally give me a ticket. If he knew how long my showers were. Because they're doing
that's
that
coming.
Now.
That's
they're
coming.
Doing that now.
Take a long shower. We're going to fine you.
I like good hot showers. I want it. You know, and they always say hot showers are bad for your skin and all that kind of stuff. But I love getting in there and just burning.
This is great.
know? like the guy with his face melts and what's that movie?
It was Schwarzenegger. Oh, you're talking about the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It's
beautiful!
The Nazi. it's terrible. It looks like, you know.
It looks like Large
Marge
from Pee Wee.
Yes, Large Marge.
The same technology.
And, like, they have the little balls. It's those little ping pong balls, and they drew an eye on it, and they're like,
Yeah, that's funny. Anyway, anything else?
I think that's it.
Denise McWorthy says, hey, guys, can you please talk about me on the radio so a billionaire can reach out to me with money? That is a fascinating story. You know, everything this week had been all about, you know, the brackets and stuff. I think this needs to be mentioned. We had a 12-year-old that had won the best bracket in ESPN's NCAA bracket challenge. But ESPN said, sorry, kid, we're not going to give you $20,000 because it says you have to be 18. You're only 12. So Big D's like, hey, I want to go ahead and raise money for this kid. It's a well-deserved prize. And Patrick and I were like, dude, you're crazy. He cheated. He didn't follow the rules. He's not 18.
First off, he didn't cheat.
But you know
saying
what
that word. He didn't cheat.
Okay, I'm sorry. He's ineligible. Right. There we go. He did not cheat. He's ineligible because he's 12. He's not 18. It says in the rules you got to be 18. And you're like, oh, man, it's a kid. Help a kid. Can't believe you're heartless. And you actually used the word heartless on me. And I went, you know what? All right, fine. Let's go ahead and do this. I got behind you because who's going to be mad at us for helping a kid?
Everyone.
God, the whole internet came down on us.
It was the wrath of everyone. And I'll tell you, I was so mad because I was sitting at home. And I see all this stuff. I go to Facebook to just kind of see how things are going with it.
Yeah.
And
I couldn't read it.
It was brutal. People picking us apart, telling us how, you know, we're the problem with society, which, by the way, we're not. We are the ones who say work for what you get. We understand the whole thing. We talk about that all the time. Work for what you get. Work for what you want. Work for what you need. But everybody was like, you know, you guys are sitting there trying to change the rules because you're not happy with the outcome and this and that. And we're like, look, just chill out. We're trying to help a kid. And I got mad because you roped me into supporting this kid. And then I'm over here getting lambasted. So finally, yesterday on the radio, I'm like, no, I was against him. I had to step out. I was against him. And it felt good to do that. And then we talked to the boy. We got him on the show, Sam Holtz. We talked to his father as well. We're like, you know, what would you have done if ESPN would have given you the money? And he said, I wanted to buy an Xbox. That was all he wanted. His dad's like, yeah, the ESPN's supposed to be giving us a gift bag of some sort, and should have a T-shirt and stuff in there because they asked about his T-shirt size.
So lame.
Maybe they'll have a T-shirt.
Shame
printed.
On you.
Maybe they'll have a T-shirt printed up saying, you know, I won the ESPN bracket challenge and all I got was this dumb T-shirt.
So through the show, a billionaire by the name of
Shervin Pishavar.
Thank you. Shervin Pishavar.
He is one of the founders, one of the creators of Uber, you know, like the taxi alternative. Shervin Pishavar reached out to Patrick and said, hey, I heard about Sam and I heard about your GoFundMe campaign that you have to get him the money that he won, you know, whatever. I would like to go ahead and offer to award $20,000 to Sam himself to Sam. And that was coming from Shervin. And we thought it was like, there's no way this could be real because he's a billionaire. That's not him. So we started Googling and going crazy. And sure enough, it really was Shervin Pishavar, the guy from Uber, reaching out to us, offering to pay this the $20 to this kid.
$20,000.
I'm sorry, $20,000.
Yeah. So it ended up being nice. What a great story. I mean, well, I'm happy, kid's happy, you're happy, everyone's happy.
We got great press out of it. We were actually talked about. They mentioned us on the news. They said a local radio show. It was awesome. It was the best thing ever.
Anyway, it was nice, and I'm glad it all worked out, and I'm glad, you know.
I'm glad Sam's getting the hookup.
Yeah,
and it's cool because, you know, you have people like that, like Shervin Pishavar, who, like he said, you know, Patrick, what was the thing? Because Patrick was like, you know, can we get you on the show and talk about it? And what did he
say?
He said,
no, just have Sam on the show. He deserves all the accolades. I'm like, wow.
And he said he's a smart kid. Wasn't that part of
yeah.
it? So that's pretty awesome. And I also think one of the coolest parts of this whole thing is the fact that we raised a little over $100 for him personally. Out of our 17 listeners.
$100.
A little over $100. I don't remember what the final was.
Pretty good considering everybody hated it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So anyway, it was a good week. And you're going to cap it off with a vasectomy.
It'll get tied off. Sliced and tied off with the vasectomy. So yeah, the vasectomy club. Somebody sent me a little picture just now. It's a bag of seedless grapes. I got a good giggle out of that.
Yes. Yeah. All juice, no seed.
Yes. Yes, that's what I said. Yeah. Did you get the same picture?
It's been around for a while.
Oh.
Yeah, you're in the club now, man. You start to see all these now.
Well, I'm not in the club yet.
You're going to be
in the club in
according,
just a few hours.
According to the little thing here, I've got a couple hours before I lose all my purpose for repopulating the planet.
After you have it, you can't talk about it though.
So if an asteroid hits, do I tell people that I had it, or do I say no? I'm your man. I can help you.
Yeah, well, it didn't work. Let's try it again.
Keep trying a lot. Do want to say thank you again to Sierra Mist for sponsoring the podcast. You guys rock. The big lemon lime flavor of Sierra Mist actually now comes in big, huge 16-ounce cans. That is a lot. Delicious refreshment. Pick one up today at your local convenience store and get a taste of 16 refreshing ounces of Sierra Mist. Are we done?
We're done. Thank you.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.